Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey, what's up? It's DeHuff. It's another episode of DeHuff Uncensored. Hope you guys are having a great day. Got a lot to get into. I got my special guest, Mark Schlereth, in studio. But real quick, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. Don't forget, today's show is presented to you by the great people over at Sugar Fire in Westminster. Just a great place to get some barbecue. As well as Jad's Mile High Smoke. And of course, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats, all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Go ahead and make your way to betonline.ag today, or go ahead and use your mobile device to get in on all the action. It's Bet Online where the game starts. And speaking of starting, my heart is pumping hard. Oh, Mark Schlereth, you sexy son of a bitch. How's it going?
I'm good. It's going good. We miss you. We miss you around here, your sunshiny face every day. I miss walking in at 4:45 in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning and going, "How's your wiener?" I do. I miss you, buddy.
Oh.
Right, as always.
I do. You know what that's from?
No, I have no
Barbie.
Idea.
Barbie. Have you seen the movie Barbie?
No, have not watched it.
It's good. Ryan Gosling's awesome. But yeah, I miss you guys too. It's weird I'm here in your studio. That soundbite didn't really fit.
No.
I just wanted to play it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, it's weird being in here. You guys have done a lot of remodeling.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
New carpet. The blood stains are out.
The blood stains are out of the carpet. They still didn't put any padding underneath it. So it's still just a thin layer of carpet on top of concrete.
Right.
We found that out.
Right. Yeah. If you guys don't know, if you're new to the show, Mark Schlereth attacked me one day when I was at work here, and he body slammed me just out of the blue and broke my ribs.
Yes.
It kind of happened that way, but yeah, hindsight, I didn't even think about that stink, is that there was concrete underneath us for some stupid reason. I'm thinking of homes where you don't have that upper level of concrete. It's usually plywood.
It's plywood, and then there's a pad. You know, there's like a half-inch pad underneath the carpet, and then there's the carpet. Here, it's just concrete and a thin layer of, like, it's not even Berber. Like, it's like
a thin layer of plastic.
It was like, we might as well have been in the asphalt parking lot doing, you know, it's funny, because we did that, and your ribs got broken, and I was limping around, because I landed on my hip and my wrist, and I was like legit limping around for like a week. Of course, my ribs were fine.
So, I wonder why.
Yeah, because I landed on your ribs.
What's funny is you and I did that, and then I had to go do a video shoot, and I remember being at the Denver Zoo having a hard time breathing because we were going to do the shoot, and you called me, and you're like, "Dude, my wrist is killing me."
Because
your wrist is really what broke my ribs.
Right, my hand was underneath your ribs.
And your other hand was on my buttocks.
Yeah, it was right on your hiney.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's crazy. How are things, by the way? I haven't really got to talk to you
in a while. Things are good. Things have been, you know, interesting. Busy, good. You know, like you really started kind of doinking around and focusing on my podcast a little bit, which has kind of taken off to a degree on YouTube, which has been good. I've done it for a long time, but I never really focused on the video aspect of it. And so just been trying to put a little extra work into that. The kids are good. The grandkids are awesome. You know, before you know it, it's going to be football season again. I'm going to be on the road again. So I always enjoy that. But yeah, for the most part, life is good.
That's good. I was going to ask you, I was driving down here, which I haven't had a long drive in a while.
Right.
Since I live
up. Because you live up north.
I live in the Thornton area. Right near down the road, there is a statue of me, and it's me just, you know, I'm holding butterflies on my fingertips.
Right.
That's in the center of town.
Mm-hmm.
But I drive all the way from down here, and I'm driving. I'm like, I wonder what, because I listen to random podcasts. People are always like, what comedy podcasts do you listen to? I don't. I know this is a comedy-focused podcast. I like to listen to weird, crazy story, spooky story podcasts. What do you do? Because I know you do like your Man 101 videos.
Yeah.
You're always working around the house. When it's just you, you got some candles lit,
mm-hmm.
incense burning.
Right.
What do you do to just chill and relax? Do you ever?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, if my wife said, my wife and I couldn't be much different than we are. But she's not, like, I like music, and she doesn't really, there's not a lot of music that she's like, oh, yeah, let's put some music on or whatever. Mm-hmm. So she's out of town. Like, I will throw on, like, 70s yacht rock, you know, or, like, Neil Diamond's greatest hits or something.
Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone.
We're coming to America.
Today, you know? Yeah.
So I just cheesy old Boss Skaggs or something, you know, and, you know, I'll grill or whatever, just kind of hang out. But for the most part, like during the football season, I'm always watching film. I'm always studying teams. And then I'm reading whatever game. I'm reading the clips and the different things going on, kind of storylines and stuff. So I've like this season, this off season, I've read probably about a third of the Reacher series, the Jack Reacher books.
Yeah.
Which he's a badass. Jack Reacher is just a badass.
I think I saw the first movie, but that's it.
Yeah, with Tom Cruise, right.
Right.
So there's a series now, and the dude that does the series is like, Jack Reacher's supposed to be 6'5", 250 pounds, you know. The guy who does the series is like legitimately that big. Like, you know, I mean, like Tom Cruise is 5'8" or something, you know. And
he's just a wee fella.
Yeah, just like a 160. But this dude that does, I don't know what his name is, but the books are pretty badass.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the guy who writes the books, some guy, I was reading a book on an airplane, the guy goes, you know, guy lives right there in Colorado, or not, up in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The guy that writes the Reacher books?
The Reacher books.
Oh, that's cool.
So he's an author. He lives in a neighborhood, and I don't know. I mean, it's just some random guy told me that, but I've enjoyed that. So I've kind of, you know, if I get a little time off, when I go pick up my granddaughters every day from school. So that's fun for me. I like that time for them to decompress in the car with me, and you know, and we kind of hang out, and it's kind of our little time. And so I always get up because I'm always in the same spot in the car line. I'm fairly ridiculous. Like I like to be within about two or three car lengths, so I know when I have to leave my house to get to right in the perfect time.
Yes.
And then I get out of the car. Everybody sits in their car during the carpool line. I get out of the car and like cheer when they come out of the building and stuff.
Do you?
Yeah.
Have you noticed in the school zones the bad drivers? Do you get bad drivers down there? Like there's horrible fucking drivers.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's ridiculous.
But just all over. Just in general.
Yeah, but like I was talking, the crossing guard is a Westminster police officer,
mm-hmm.
and he like actually lives on my block. And I was talking to him one day. He's like, "It's amazing that it seems like that in school zones, it just gets amplified with you get some ridiculous driving, and you get people just." Last year I almost got hit. I actually had to put my hand, they stopped because I'm walking on the crosswalk.
Right.
And there's kids all around, and my hand ended up being on their hood.
Right.
And I'm like, what is going on with these people? I fucking hate people.
Pay attention. I tell you the one thing that drives me crazy is the lack of courtesy wave.
Oh my God, yes.
Dude, I over courtesy wave now. I like courtesy wave for everything. Like, hey, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Right.
Right? But like if I put my blinker on, somebody lets me in, I'm like on it, like, and I overdo it. Thank you, thank you. And make sure they get it, you know, in the rear view and everything else. Like when people just pull in on you and don't give you the courtesy wave, it just makes me wish I had like a battering ram car that I drove around in and just slammed into people.
Like, sorry, officer, they didn't wave back.
Yeah, they did. There was no courtesy. I let them in, not a courtesy wave. They deserve the dent.
All right, Mr. Schlereth, you're justified. Go home now. Hey, you know what we need to do right now? This is what I do on every show is we get into some crazy headlines. You good to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Oh, that's the wrong thing. Sorry. God, okay, that's okay. I'm using a different system here. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What's happening?
Let's go. Let's go.
And now, here are the headlines.
Flawless
execution. Flawless execution by you.
Have you been paying attention to that new virtual portal that's in New York and in Dublin? Where you can go to this big old display, and there's this big giant screen, and if you're in New York, you can in real time wave and, you know, essentially talk to people that are in Dublin that have the other end of that virtual portal, and you guys can interact. Have you seen any of that?
No.
Oh my God, man, you guys live in under a fucking rock. Well, it got shut down. Like a week and a half ago when they announced it, we're talking about it on this show. I said, it's great. It's in theory, it's nice because if you live in Dublin and I can bring my kids there and you know, you can have some interaction. It's kind of a neat thing.
Right.
I said, just wait until somebody abuses it and takes it too far.
Right.
What happens like a few days later? It had to be temporarily shut down because between New York and Dublin, people were doing inappropriate things, right? Mm. In Dublin, some dickhead was putting up a cell phone with the Twin Towers burning. Like, what kind of fucking dick does that?
Right.
And holding up swastikas and stuff like that. In New York, what they did, there was a lady like literally grinding on it, like humping it. Then there was the straw that broke the camel's back. This OnlyFans model decided she was going to flash it.
Right.
So she goes up there and she flashes her boobs. And they're like, no, everything else, not that bad.
Right.
Boobs? No.
Boobs are horrible.
Gotta shut it down. We're scared of the nipple.
All right. Is it just a camera?
It's like a live TV feed.
Right.
Right? Well, what's funny is, and what's bad is, that OnlyFans model that did that, because she recorded it and posted it on her OnlyFans, and now she's got a bunch of new subscribers. In 2 days, because of that event, she made over $30,000 just for showing her boobs. It's kind of a glimpse into the downfall of our society, of how stupid we are. But you're into a lot of things. Is that the next avenue for Mark Schlereth? OnlyFans.
No. I'm not that proud, Scott.
Nor am I. I think it would just bring more sadness to people. They're like, there's a depression. You know, you want to feel, actually, it'd probably make people feel good about themselves if they saw me naked.
Right.
Like, oh, you know what? Life's not that bad.
Life is not that bad. Our society is just absolutely, it's insane. The stuff that I don't know how we got here, but just the idiotic stuff that we have to put up with. I've read it several times. We live in a society where intelligent people are silent, so stupid people don't get offended. Like that's
wow.
Right?
That's so true, though.
Isn't it true? Like,
like, why are you
intelligent
offended?
People are silent, so stupid people aren't offended. Like, and that's, I mean, that's just the truth of the nature. Like the nature of the beast that we live in right now.
More random headlines that I found is this lady said, I had sex with a ghost. I was hoping Mike Evans would be here because this is right up his alley. Like, that's his like fantasy. It says, I had sex with a ghost every night for 20 years, but I dumped him when I saw he had fangs and a face of a gargoyle. Again, downfall of our society.
Right.
First of all, so you're banging a ghost.
You never looked at him before? For 20 years, you kept your eyes closed, you didn't see.
But... And how shallow are you, right? You're like, oh, God, he's been pleasuring me for 20 years.
Right.
Then I actually got a good look at him.
Turns out he's an ugly ghost.
Ooh, gross.
Right.
Ugh.
I mean, it must have been pretty decent if you kept coming back for 20 years.
Maybe she's just one of those, you know.
Are you picky. Do you believe in ghosts? Are you a ghost guy?
Oh, God. You know, Mark, it's funny because I am and I'm not. There's times where I've felt like I can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, and I think part of the reason is there's so many bad stories out there where I'm like, I can easily debunk that shit.
Yeah, right.
Like, I remember going on some ghost hunts and some of the people there that were alleged experts were getting irritated with me because I was debunking stuff.
Yeah.
They're like, look at, see that chain outside? It's moving as we're talking about whatever ghost.
Right.
And
it's windy.
Dude, it was.
Right.
It was. And I was like, and I bent down to look and I was like, you see the bush right next to it and how much wind is?
Right.
And they're like, yeah. Uh-huh. And they're like, it's so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, my God. But what was annoying was I'm in a group of, say, five people, and they're all in agreement with her. I'm right. like, so that stuff bugs me. There's a lot of people that just jump to the conclusion, oh, it's ghosts. Or, you know, the other popular thing now is aliens. And it's like, I want to believe, but I personally haven't seen enough where I'm like, yeah, that's concrete. But what about you?
So when I was in college, we rented this.
You had sex with a ghost in college? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Right.
You slut.
Yeah, we rented this house. And the guy who owned the house, a guy by the name of Rod. And Rod was a Vietnam veteran. He owned a laundromat pawn shop. And he owned this house. He lived kind of in the laundromat pawn shop. And he owned this house. This thing was a lean-to. It was awful, and we rented it, and so many strange things would happen. Like every now and again, you'd wake up, and you know, you kind of go downstairs, and there was this doorway off the kitchen, and it had this little open entryway, and you'd see some of his Vietnam veteran buddies sleeping in there. You know, it was just kind of weird, but weird things happened in that all the time. Like we would wake up in the middle of the night, and you know, and the TV and the stereo would be on. Well, that was back in the day where it wasn't just a push of the button like a remote. You had to go down and manually flip it on.
Right.
And so, like, stuff like that would happen. We'd come downstairs and all the windows and doors would be open in the house. Just weird, like, weird stuff. And we always just thought it was our college buddies messing with us. So we didn't pay any attention to it. Like, whatever. Like, you know, oh, the guys got a little loose last night, came over and opened all our doors. You know, whatever. So anyhow, I go through a year in that house, and then we moved to a different, you know, we moved to a different place. And I'm sitting in the student union building, probably my senior year of playing, and, you know, pretending to do homework, but mostly just going back and forth to the pinball machines, you know, or whatever. And this kid taps me on the shoulder and he goes, hey, man, did you live? And gave me the address. And I was like, oh, yeah, we lived there last year. And this kid was shaking, like he was legit shaking. And he's like, can I ask you a question? I'm like, yeah, whatever. What do you need? And he goes, did anything strange happen there? And he goes, anything ever strange happen? And I said, yeah, all the time. And we would have all these incidences where, you know, the doors would be open, the windows would be open, the TV would come on, whatever. Like it happened all the time. Like every month something odd would happen. And he goes, man, I haven't been back. I live there. I haven't been back in a week. And I was like, what? And he goes, I walked into the front room, and there was literally a ghost sitting on our couch. He's just looking at me.
That's creepy.
Right. And he's like, I haven't been back in a week since. And you know me, I said something to the effect of, oh, yeah, that's Charlie. He's
right.
He's harmless. Come on.
Fucking Chuck.
Yeah. That guy. But yeah, it was. But this kid was like, legit shaken, like he was scared. So I just called him a pussy, and
and then I kicked him in the dick. I've never seen anything like that.
I haven't either. I haven't seen anything. Like I said, all we saw was, all we witnessed or experienced was weird stuff that happened.
There's two things that I'll share with you, and it's at the current house that we're in, but it was before we had kids. And at the time, I worked two different jobs. One, I was a traffic reporter, and two, I worked here at the Fan. Mm-hmm. And I was in between, as in between shifts. And my wife was at her job. Mm-hmm. And I remember I came home, and I had, at the time, we had two dogs. And I remember I come in, get, you know, settled, and all of a sudden I hear my wife from upstairs go, "Hey, babe, how's it going?" I was like, "Good, I didn't think you were home." And then I walk up the stairs, and I'm like, "Wait a minute, she's not home." And I look all upstairs,
right?
Not in there, go into the garage, her car's not here. I'm like, "What the fuck? That was weird." Well, fast forward to I don't even know when, there was a point again where I'm home alone. It's just me and now just the one dog, and she's not home, no kids, just the dog. And all of a sudden I hear my dog growling, and he's just going to town. I'm like, "What the heck?" And he's slowly walking up the rest of the stairs,
because
I had and I'm following him. And his hair is up.
Right.
And he's a black lab. So it wasn't like he was a big poofy dog or anything. One of those fancy, fancy dogs. And he is just.
Tail up. You're looking right into his butthole.
I'm like, "That brown eye is telling me something." But what is it? So follow the brown eye. Which, you know, sometimes can lead you to success. Sometimes not.
Yes. It's always been a philosophy of mine.
Follow the brown eye. It could go one way or the other. So I follow him, and then he is just locked in on this, like, this one room of our upstairs. And I'm like, "Cole, what are you looking at?" like he speaks fucking English.
Right.
And he looks over at me, and then he whips his head back. Then all of a sudden, all the tension in him just goes away. Uh-huh. Like, something just disappeared. Then he comes over to me and just starts licking me. It was weird. Can't explain it. Don't know what it was. But anyway, yeah, I guess I do. But then again, I could equate that me hearing my wife's voice to some sort of brain malfunction where I think I hear her saying something, but I didn't. The dog could have had cataracts or some shit like that. Or he was gassy, and then he didn't know how to handle it. Been there.
Yes, I've seen him a million times.
Every time I get farty and bloated, I, you know, start sweaty and think I see things in the corner of the room.
There you go.
you used to eat a lot of weird shit when you played football to keep weight, right? Mm-hmm. This literally, as I walked in here, this popped up on my phone. A man served his friends tacos made from his own amputated leg.
What
a dick.
What?
Isn't that gross? What a fucking prick.
First off, okay, come on. Like, what you like? You go, "Hey, gotta amputate my leg." The doctor, "Can I have my leg back?" Like, what?
You gonna do anything with it? It's like, you know, like at the dinner table, you're like, "You're gonna eat all that?"
I'm gonna stuff it and hang it in my
den.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
I don't know. I find that one hard to believe. Like, where do you just come away with your amputated leg?
Maybe he did it himself. He's like, "I'm bored. I think I should just cut my leg off and make some tacos."
Yeah.
It is Tuesday, guys.
Taco Tuesday.
We're going over to Frank's house. His tacos are the best.
Could you imagine if somebody...
You'd be damaged for the rest of your life, right?
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you saw meat, you'd probably start vomiting.
You would go straight vegan. That would be the one time that I would give you, like, credit for going vegan.
Which, by the way, they've done some studies. Uh-huh. It's not necessarily good to go hard one direction or another as far as veganism or just straight carnivore diet. They're saying that if you have a very well-balanced diet, it's better for your brain function and your mental status. So, like, people that are like, I only eat vegetables and I'm hardcore vegan. Well, eventually that wears out your brain and actually it's just not good for you.
You become mush.
You become mush.
That's where the term you became a vegetable.
Listen, I don't want to bore you with the facts. Yeah. But I know what I know. I know my truth.
That's probably not appropriate.
Ah, it's fine, though. We said it. We said it, though, Mark.
You people out there were thinking it. We just said it.
Oh, you guys are pointing the finger at us. Oh, oh. Hey, speaking of meat, Sugar Fire in Westminster, a great place to grab some barbecue.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
They don't serve amputated legs, though, which is good. Thank God.
Yes.
But if you want to go, here's the crazy thing. It's graduation season, so what better way to get your graduate, you know, honored by getting it catered by Sugar Fire in Westminster. They're off 144th and Orchard Parkway, right next to Snooze on the south side of 144th. Just a great place, whether it's smoked brisket. You like smoked brisket,
right? Oh, I love
right?
brisket, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's so good. They got ribs. They got smoked turkey. What's crazy, too, is people always bag on me at first until they try it. They have the best burgers by far that I have ever had, and I've traveled a lot. Best burgers I've ever ate are at Sugar Fire in Westminster. It's definitely worth your trip. It's family-friendly. It's great for date night, but again, it's great for catering those special family events like graduation. You got weddings, birthdays, or even the big meeting at the office. So go ahead and check out Sugar Fire in Westminster. Again, they're off 144th and Orchard Parkway, just east of Huron on the south side of 144th. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Sugar Fire Westie, or go to their website, sugarfiresmokehouse.com. It's Sugar Fire in Westminster, reinventing barbecue every single day.
Yes.
Hey, and if you want to get ready to go to Sugar Fire,
yeah,
what better way than getting high, okay? Go to Jad's Mile High Smoke. It's the first and only licensed cannabis bar in the state of Colorado. It's like an alcohol bar, but for cannabis. So go on, swing.
So you just go in there and get smoked? And
yeah, it's really interesting. It's like a regular bar. Mm-hmm. You just sit down at the bar, and you can buy pre-rolls, or you can buy concentrate, you can buy edibles, or you can smoke it out of a bong, and they wash the bongs after every use. So it's like a bar. It's literally like a bar. But instead of alcohol, it's cannabis products. It's really cool. You can buy everything you want up there. As far as you can get an ounce of flour, 8 grams of concentrate. They got pre-rolls, like I was saying, and edibles. They provide everything you need to consume it with. And what's cool, too, is they have 7 big screen TVs in there. So you can catch your favorite sporting event or maybe even do a watch party. And they got Nintendo Switches that you can rent. Just hang out there. I think it's like $5 to rent a Nintendo Switch. So you could veg out on a bean bag. Of course, I mean, weed. And you go in there, hang out, and just get lost in the day and have a good time. It's a really cool place. They even have a quarter arcade with pinball machines, vintage Street Fighter, and, of course, Mortal Kombat. I love Street Fighter. Uh-huh. That was my game growing
was
up.
Was it?
I loved. I never really got into Mortal Kombat, but Street Fighter was freaking legit for me. Like, did you ever play that game?
No. I was too busy kicking ass in the NFL.
Shut up. Sorry, bro.
Do they make cannabis suppositories? Is that something?
Hey, you know what, Mark? I think anything's possible if you want to try it that way. Can you? Hey, guys, what are your suggestions on smoking this anally?
I don't know how it works.
I don't know anything about marijuana consumption.
I don't know how it works. I'm just wondering.
Jads is going to listen to this, and they're going to be like, I'm sorry, what now?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Genius. Jads Mile High Smoke is just 9 minutes from Coors Field. It's open from noon to 10. You got to be at least 21 or older to consume. No outside product. Just buy it there. Jads is at 7667 Washington Street. Just GPS to Jads. You're such a freaking idiot. Now I'm going to have that, like, next time I read that, I'm going to be like, anally. Suppository.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do? We got some, I'm going to rapid fire through these last ones, okay? Real quick. Let's see.
Mailbag.
God damn, this system here sucks. Hold on, ready?
Yeah.
We're going to rapid fire.
Okay.
Why does it hurt when a pee?
Zappa.
Is that Zappa?
It's rapid fire.
Say hello to my little friend.
You ready?
Wait. So we're just going to wing it?
There's a big difference between winging it and seeing what happens. Now let's see what happens.
I like to make open still.
Right. I can see that.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Real quick, this is what the headline reads. We're just going to read the headlines and we're just going to react. Okay. I went to my first orgy at 49. Here's what happened. Would you, like, let's say, God forbid, you're single.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I could survive being single nowadays.
Right.
I don't think, and I know Seinfeld did that bit where they're like, I'm not an orgy guy.
Right.
You know, I don't think I could handle being an orgy. Just too much shit going around, too much, like, I don't want to be, like, thinking good about myself. Then I look over and there, hey, there's Todd. Oh, my God. Like, I always remember, like, when I think of people that are well hung, I always think of the joke that you said, it's like a baby arm holding an apple.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to see that when I turn my head. Talk about a deflating moment.
Right.
Like, holy shit, what do you feed that?
So, what did you have a question in here?
Like, I don't know what it was. I was just like, I don't remember.
No, I'm going to pass. I'm gonna pass. I don't know, at what point do you just go, you know what, like, you're 49 years old, right?
Right.
And at what point, I mean, you're freaking 50 years old. At what point do you go, you know what, I haven't tried? Like, what's the reasoning? Like, and how does that? How do you get to the point where you're just like sitting around? You know, I don't know, watching the Nuggets, and you're like, this game sucks. You know what I think I'd like to try?
An orgy.
Yeah, that one.
It's just not my. And what's funny is I know a few people that have, and they all say the same thing. It gets awkward. Depending,
you think? you think?
Well, eventually somebody's going to get phased out.
Right.
Right? Just be in the corner, just be like, hey, guys, I'm still here. So dumb.
Okay.
Random fact that I just found, too, is an altered state of consciousness can be achieved by staring into someone's eyes for 10 minutes. Have you ever tried that?
No.
You should do that with your wife tonight. But don't tell her.
That's not going to happen.
Just start staring at her.
She'd be like, what are you looking at?
Quit looking at me. Right. God.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave me alone.
Now you've been married as long as that. You don't look at anything. You're just like, no, whatever. Like,
okay. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
Sure.
My bad. My mistake. This is gross, and it kind of goes with the random food theme.
Mm-hmm.
A pregnant woman. This is so disgusting. Ate a rotting rodent head hidden in a Costco pasta bag. She was eating a bag of pasta from Costco, and there was a rotten rodent head.
In the bag of pasta?
Yeah. And they showed a picture of it. I don't have it to show you, but it's more than a half dollar size. How do you not notice that?
Right.
And how do you just eat that?
Digging through pasta and that the head is in there, I would think before it goes in your mouth, like you would like.
Do you not notice?
Right.
This is a weird meatball. I don't remember putting meatballs in here.
I don't remember furry meatballs. I don't know where this fur came from.
It tastes good though. I got to be honest. Oh shit.
Right.
Is that? Am I chewing on teeth?
Right. Do you have to eat it before you consume them for rodent heads in your pasta? Like, I don't understand.
And they're taking this to court, but and she'll probably win some money out of it.
Most likely. I would think.
But, I mean, the fact that it got into her mouth bugs me because it's, how dumb are you?
Right.
And how oblivious are you to life? because I don't know about you, but like if you open a bag of pasta and you put it in, if you're
like
boiling,
yeah.
or even if it's like pre-made pasta ready to go, and you put it in a bowl, are you not looking at what you're eating?
You're just opening up a raw bag of pasta that's all like pre-cooked pasta, and you in the dark.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. You should never eat something if you can't see it. Which there's a restaurant in Denver where you go in there.
It's dark.
And it's dark. My wife wanted me to go there. I was like, I can't. I refuse to go and eat because it's supposed to heighten your senses and it's supposed to taste better. I just don't.
So you can't see it?
No.
What happens if it has a random pubic hair in there? You're.
Is that mine or is that
right? You can't send it back like, hey, there's a hair in my, you know.
Prove
whatever,
it, sir.
Yeah, there's a hair in my whatever it is we're eating. How do you know there's not supposed to be hair in that dish that you can't see?
Yeah, it's part of the culture, dick. You uncultured fuck.
Right.
Why did you go to like a pubic hair? I was thinking like something like a fly. I would rather eat a fly than a pubic hair. I did eat a burger once at a restaurant, and I'm halfway through the burger.
Yeah.
And there was a black hair. It wasn't a pube, but it was like somebody's long black hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I show it to my wife, and she's all, that's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I mean, the damage is already done.
Right.
So I just finished the burger. Is that wrong?
No.
In that sense, like if there was anything wrong with it, I already ate it.
Right.
Anyway, I had diarrhea for like a month.
Of course.
Could you imagine? I don't know why. Well,
I don't know what's going on, but my stomach sure doesn't feel good.
Yeah, I am fucked up, man. Hey, real quick, a lot of people ask me about this, and I'm kind of outside. I do listen to you and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And real quick, your thoughts on Bo Nix. I know we've been kind of goofing around,
yeah.
but a lot of people tune in for me to talk about the Nuggets, who got their ass handed to them last night. As I record this, it's Friday, and last night they got bent over a barrel.
Oh, my gosh.
But looking at the Denver Broncos and Bo Nix, you know, you got Sean Payton coming out saying that Bo Nix is kind of boring to watch. And, you know, what are your thoughts on that? And what do you think the Broncos have in Bo Nix? Because that's obviously the big spotlight position.
Sure, sure. I think there's a couple of things. When you watch, like, I watched enough film to be dangerous on every quarterback simply because I knew that the Broncos were in position to draft the quarterback. So I looked at film of every guy. And legitimately, Bo Nix was one of my favorite players. And I think there's a couple of things that, you know, that I kind of look at. And you've got to, it's hard to look at college football because it's so different than professional football. Mm-hmm. But accuracy is the most paramount thing you can have. And it's not just accuracy, it is timing. Timing creates accuracy. So if you're on time with the football, you more likely than not will be accurate with the football. But it's beyond not only accurate, but it's ball placement accuracy. Meaning, hey man, if I see a certain coverage and you're running a little spot route or you're running a flat or you're running a route that basically is a completion, but there's leverage of a defender on the right side or the left side, I will throw it to spin you out of like a little spot or a little arrow route. I'll spin you out of it away from the leverage of the tackler so that instead of getting tackled for a 3-yard gain, you'll spin out of it and fall forward for an extra 2 or 3. And now it's 2nd and 5 as opposed to 2nd and 7. And that's a big, that's a big key for offenses to stay on schedule. So when Sean Payton says, hey, Bo Nix is boring, that's a good thing. Like, because he's taking easy completions. He's putting the ball where it needs to be. And that was one thing you saw on film in college. Plus, he started 61 games in two distinctly different parts of the country, distinctly different offenses in Auburn and then in Oregon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it shows aptitude for learning and everything else. Like, I really liked him. And I think the top thing I would tell you when you get drafted is how you fit into a particular scheme as a player. And there are a lot of guys that potentially could have been Pro Bowl type players that get asked to do things that they're not necessarily capable of doing. They get put in the wrong fit for them mm-hmm. as a player. And so then all of a sudden you don't have success and people are like, oh, this guy sucks. He's not very good. And he really is in the wrong system. And I would tell you that when you look at where all the quarterbacks went, so the first three quarterbacks, right, you've got Williams, you got Jaden Daniels, and then you've got Drake May. They all went to places with defensive head coaches. Oh, also, then you've got the kid that went to Atlanta. So you've got four defensive coaches basically coaching the quarterbacks. One thing I know about defensive coaches coaching a football team, and this goes back to my experience at ESPN with Steve Young. Steve Young used to say it all the time. Defensive coaches oftentimes retard the development of the quarterback because they are always going to rely and try to protect their defense. And, you know, we saw that firsthand here when Vic Fangio, I mean, they would ask Vic Fangio after practice about, hey, what did you think of, of the quarterback? What did you think of Teddy Bridgewater? What did you think of the practice that that Drew Locke had? He'd be like, I don't know. I have to go look at the film. I wasn't paying attention. I was watching the defense. Like, he used to say that all the time.
Which is ridiculous when you think about it.
Right. So, anyhow, I think that going back to Bo Nix, I think that he was put in a perfect position with the head coach that's an offensive-minded coach, and Sean Payton loves him. I mean, absolutely loves him, and he was kind of his guy. He said the only other guy I think that they really were intrigued with was Jaden Daniels, who went to Washington. But anyhow, long story short, I think he got the guy that he wanted, that he felt like had the most transferable skills from the college game to the professional game.
Well, it's exciting, and it's funny because I wanted the Broncos to draft a quarterback at mm-hmm. 12 from right. the get-go. I wasn't really sure who the best fit would be, but now listening to you and a few others, and obviously, you know, and really as you laid it out, it does make sense for what they got, and he seems like a smart dude. But everybody's on pins and needles of, well, that's great. We've had our hopes up before.
Sure.
And it's a weird feeling. We want to be excited. Broncos country wants to be excited. Yeah. But they're also so hesitant because it's like we're coming out of like this horrible relationship.
Right.
Essentially. We've been burned for so long, you know. And now it's just like, oh, this seems like the right guy.
Right.
But
I think part of that too, though, is this organization's been lying to itself for 8 years. Like, oh, we're a couple of receivers away from being really good. You know, right. we just do this. We're going to be really good. We're going to be competitive. And ultimately, it's the first time, one, as a fan, you get lied to all the time about the salary cap. Like, it's a hard cap, right? You got to eat all this salary cap money. And if you eat all this salary cap money, you won't be competitive. And, oh, it's going to hamstring you. And, like, the cap goes up every year. And you can manipulate it any way you want to manipulate it. And, by the way, I think four of the five biggest cap-strap teams in the NFL last year all made the playoffs. So, you know, the bottom line is, yeah, you got to eat $50 million for Russ. So, like, it's better to rip off the Band-Aid than continue with the dreck that was Russ playing here. Because he was awful. And obviously, he and Sean Payton didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And he couldn't execute some of the things that Sean wanted. So, I for one, look at it like, I am so glad that somebody is finally in here that has the balls to go, we're not very good, and I'm going to move off of players that we've been hanging on to, and I'm going to move off of players that can't play, and I'm going to move off of guys that won't do it the way I want to do it, and I'm going to kind of start over from scratch. And will there be growing, you know, people like, well, that's going to set us back. Dude, you haven't won jack squatting.
You're not really setting you back from anything.
Right. Yeah. And so
we're already back.
Right. We've been back. So, like, to me, I look at that as, like, that's a great way to reestablish culture, to bring the right guys in, and to get guys out of here that are, to me, are dead weight and are holding you back. So I'm all for it, and I'm for the rookie quarterback, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's just nerve-wracking. I've been a Bronco fan my entire life, mm-hmm. and it's just like you see the highs, you see the lows, and we've been. If you subtract the Peyton Manning era, this is, you know, that the Broncos essentially lucked out with,
right.
To be honest.
Yeah,
think about that. Like it, basically from the Jake Plummer era, after he was done, mm-hmm. because he at least took them to the AFC Championship game. After that, it's been just sadness. Other than they lucked out and got Peyton Manning, which was great. But other than that, man, it's just been a factory of sadness. I know that used to be the joke that was the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
But let's be honest, that's where the Broncos are. And hopefully Bo Nix is helping them go in the right direction. There's a lot of weight on his shoulders, and Broncos country is just seeing how far he can take them.
You know, it's interesting. I sat with, had dinner with the guy who's the primary guy that makes the schedule for the NFL. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, we're having this conversation, and this is several years ago, but we're having this conversation about the Broncos. And he said, you know, there was a time over the course of Mr. Bolin's tenure as the owner here that you were always guaranteed a great rating in that 4:05 Eastern, that 4:25 Eastern slot when the Broncos played.
Yeah.
And that's when we always played. He goes, you always guaranteed a great rating, television-wise. And he's like, they have become irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like, the Broncos do not rate anymore. And that's just sad because, I mean, I look at the Broncos like they're a crown jewel, you know, and now, right now, they're not. And so hopefully they get back there because, you know, now the rating is obviously the Chiefs or the Bills or whoever. But you can't get a TV rating out of the Broncos anymore.
By the way, did you see the schedule release videos and how bad the Broncos was?
It was awful.
That was, I don't know who, and I hate to bag on those people.
I have a theory.
What's the theory?
The theory was, you know how Russ Wilson came in here with, like, he got his own office, he had his own quarterback coach, he had all this, like, one of his deals was, I get to produce I get to produce the video. I've got a great idea. Sir Lewis Hamilton will eat carrots. It's going to be hilarious.
Guys, stay with me.
Yeah.
Be like, no, Russ, it's dumb. And it's a good example of this is why you can't be surrounded by yes men. You need to have a few no men around you because that.
I didn't watch past, like, I think, like, he tried three different things or something.
It was bad.
He was like three different foods or something. Like he was eating foods from the area of like, is that what?
Yes. From like Indianapolis or here's something that a cuisine from Kansas City. And it was just, and he's like, oh, this tastes great. I don't even know his accent, but you know what I mean? It was just like,
he's in English. He's a bloke.
Oi, this tastes like garbage. Yeah. If he had more of a Cockney accent, maybe people would have been a little bit more, appreciative of, or maybe, you know, he tries to do an accent.
That was almost like the Broncos got surprised that the schedule was coming out. What?
Oh, shit.
Right? We got to do a schedule release?
Hold on. I got some coupons, some gift cards. Okay.
We've got to deal with King Soopers.
King Soopers? Applebee's. Carl, go to Applebee's. Get some, some carrots.
Right.
You know, like from their little appetizer dish. It was the most ridiculous thing. And like you said, it's like they forgot about it.
Yeah, I didn't get through. I don't think I got through the first three or four games before I just turned it off. I was like, this is stupid.
They screwed up, and I don't know why Peyton Manning wasn't involved.
Right.
But Peyton needs to come out and make an apology and say, hey, next time I'll be available. Right. Sorry, guys. Because it was embarrassing. That being said, the Chiefs had a shitty one, too. It was just those mechanical pressing things. I was like, okay, that was dumb, too.
There was a bunch of really dumb ones. I did like the Patriots with the Gronkowski and Julian Edelman.
Yes.
Yeah, on the
Goodwill Hunting.
Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
And even though Gronk is not what I would call a good actor.
No.
He's probably better than me, but still.
He leans into his own stupidity. I like that about Gronk.
It was good. It was very well thought out. Broncos, not thought out.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, people were asking, and it feels weird for me to say this, but what's your favorite character of mine? Somebody wanted to get brought
up. My favorite character of, well, Connery DeHuff always makes me laugh.
Right. Like, hello there. That's right. I'm sitting down here with Mark Schlereth. I was hoping Mike Evans would be here so I could talk about how I banged his mother last night.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. But I do... I really miss you just because, like, when you and I get going on something stupid, our stupidity creative level is, like, we play well off each other.
Right.
Little known fact that when anything that's stupid happens, like, on our show, well, on Schlereth than Evans, when the Huff was a part of our show, it always developed between me and you, and then we would drag Mike along with us.
And he'd be like, okay, Mike, this is what you need to do. Right. Like if we had some pre-thought into it.
Right.
But sometimes it would just be you and I just going, just shooting from the hip while the mic is hot.
Right. Or I would lean in and say, or you would, vice versa, would get into my ear and go, hey, let's do something. Like, and I just go, hey, pull this song up because I want to do something stupid, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was always, were you here that one time when, oh, God, we did something. I can't remember. I don't know. There was a lot of shooting from the hip, and those were always the best moments. And I always tell people this is, The best moments usually in radio are the ones that it's the hosts. Mm. It's, you know, the talent. It's not usually you don't have a guest on and the people don't refer back, be like, hey, remember when you had Dan Orlovsky? Yeah. I can never say his last
name. Orlovsky, yeah. Whatever it is.
Dano. Remember when he was on and he gave that a great analysis?
Yeah.
Like, nobody's talking about that. It's like, do you remember when Stink and Mike did this and it was just so fucking hilarious?
Right.
That's what it is. And like, and a lot of those moments that people come up to me and be like, dude, you guys were so funny when you know, just like the videos that we used to do on the road. Like I brought up yesterday, somebody asked like, what's a great moment that I had that maybe people haven't heard the full story. I was explaining the story of like when you and I were in Miami and we did the bathtub thing.
Yeah.
I think that one doesn't get enough credit for the comedy.
Right.
Because I found that video and I posted it into the video of yesterday or last week's show. And it's you and I just in the bathtub with our shirts off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your leg can't bend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sticking out of the tub. And there's bubbles everywhere. And then Mike coming in. And what's even funnier, too, to me is that was the first time we had Kendall Valenzuela with us.
Right.
And she's, like, filming and directing everything. And she's just like, is this what you guys do?
I was right.
Like, yeah. Essentially. We just, somebody comes up with a dumb idea and we just go with it.
Yeah. We just shoot it.
If it works, it works. If it doesn't,
right,
then we just scrap it.
And I love the other thing I loved about that, our show or our stupid videos or things we used to do is, it was always, there was this dumb idea, but it was never scripted. It was, hey, let's go with this dumb idea and just see what happens. And so there was not, ever a real, like, a script to go by. It was just like, we got a couple ideas. We'll make this thing work.
We'll see what happens. Yeah. And that's what made it funny, and it wasn't always forced. Because, you know, there'd be times where if management tried to get involved on something, that really happened before you came to work with us, is like if I was doing a bit, like Hastings and I used to do that Jock Sniffer 104.3 where I would pretend to be a traffic up in the traffic helicopter observing things and then like whatever. It was just stupid. And then our boss was just like, that was hilarious. Let's do the next. He made us do the next like two segments on that. I'm like, you just killed the joke.
Right.
You can't do
that. It's no longer funny.
No. Yeah. And it's like, I'm like up there and Hastings is like, what do you see now, DeHuff? I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
Like, you know, it's dumb. So it was always fun to do those videos. And, but also like, you know, doing like Paxton Lynch. I don't even remember like, cause Paxton was always, I would always fuck up Paxton too. And I always thought that was funny as well. Cause there would be times where Mike would be like, oh, you know, you kind of butchered the, you know, the delivery. I'm like, well, that's kind of makes it funnier too.
Right.
Like if you guys are laughing and you're making fun of me because I screwed up and they're like, yar, hey, P. Paxton.
Yeah.
I got to hurry up because I got to shift at Long John Silver's. You know, it's stupid stuff like that. And then sometimes people would be like, oh, it needs to be perfect. I was like, the imperfections make it hilarious.
I, you know, that obviously when we did the whole getting ready to do a number one show, you know, where I spit milk in your face. His freaking that video is probably the funniest, but a lot of the ones that maybe didn't get as much traction, like when I interview the plastic doll of Tom Brady,
and I
was like, let me slip into something more comfortable, and we fabricate out of one of the room towels to make it look like a rope. Just shirtless with this towel hanging off that looks like a rope,
and I don't think it made it to the final cut. Because I think we were fearful, but your nipple kept making an appearance, and we're like, we gotta keep that tamed. Right. And it was funny because
it was this towel that we folded to make it look like lapels on a robe, and it just was, the whole thing was ridiculous.
That was a funny one. Then like, what was the other? There were so many. That was because we were in Minnesota and we didn't want to go outside because it was cold.
100 below zero or whatever it was. It was ridiculous.
Pretty close to that. And then we didn't want to go to the media night. And that's where it started because we're like, why are we going to go to media night? Everybody asks the same questions.
Right.
And then there's also, and then also with your celebrity status, we're like, then people are going to end up interviewing Stink, and then it's just like, is that even fun for you?
Right.
So they're like, let's just fuck around here, and that's where we started. And it that might have been the Tom Brady one, might have been one of the first ones we did. And then there was us keeping, there was something where, what the hell, there was something where you guys were getting in like a pillow fight or something, and then I think you may have hurt Mike for a second, like when you swung the pillow at his face or something like that. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look it up.
Right.
But there are some really funny ones, and it all stemmed from us going, you know, well, let's go against the grain.
Right.
Let's just do what we think is funny. It entertains us.
Right.
One of the funniest things I thought was there was a random video of Mike dipping block cheese in liquid cheese that had like 30 to 40,000 views, something stupid like that, or if not even more. And I'm like, it's just Mike eating fucking cheese.
Right.
And people are like, this is stupid. And it's you making fun of them. Mm-hmm. You're like, I can hear your arteries clogging up.
I can hear you getting fatter. Yeah.
Right. So it's just, it was a lot of fun. But, you know, now I just talk to myself in the basement and everything's good.
Good. I'm glad it's working out for you.
It actually is. It's actually easier for me to talk to myself than to sit down with somebody who's like, why don't you get a bunch of interviews? I was like, well, I have to actually want to interview somebody. You know what I mean?
Oh, so I get the same. So I've been doing, you know, you helped with the Stink of Truth podcast forever.
Yeah.
And, same thing. I get people all the time like, man, you could really blow this thing up if you got like celebrity people that you know to be a part of the, like, to for you to interview them. Like, I don't want to interview people. I just want to talk about football.
Right. And it's easier for me to flow.
Yeah.
And then instead of having somebody, because you don't know what you're going to get with a guest.
Yeah. And then you then they're in a different area, you know, you're zooming in or you're, you know, StreamYard or whatever it is, and you're back and forth, then it's not face to face. And I don't know, it doesn't intrigue me as much.
No, and that's why, like, if I do them, I want to be in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, when I interviewed Mike, I came down here, and with you, I was like, I don't like doing Zoom. You lose a lot, and there's also a quality issue that bugs me, too.
Right.
Is sometimes you get the echo, or if I start talking and you're still talking, then it, like, one of our voices gets silenced out by, you know, the compression and shit like that, and it bugs me.
Okay.
Just nerd talk. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry. Basically, the compression of the audio formats. Sorry, I climaxed. I really like audio stuff. But yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I entertain myself.
All right.
Anyway, Stink, thank you so much for joining
my
show.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's fun.
Always good to see you.
I got to admit, though, I'm really uncomfortable in this studio.
Right, because you'll get COVID.
That
for the 18th time,
and I'm sweating because it's freaking hot in here.
Is it hot? I'm not hot at all. Oh, maybe it's just me. It makes you hot.
Oh my god! Oh dear lord! And, you know, oh, and your nipples are hard.
Always, 100% of the time.
And so am I.
It's science.
Science.
All right. Get
me
out of
plus
here.
You makes you. Anyway. Anyway. Yeah. But seriously, it's hot in here, and it makes me uncomfortable.
I'm sorry
anyway,
to hear that.
Anyway. Just more things. Now I'm sick. I got to go get a shot.
Right. You're going to be down in your basement, quarantined for 2 weeks.
My doctor, I've got to go. Be like, I need a penicillin shot. Why? Well, I was around Stink. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. You got to get rid of those crotch critters. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it. Don't forget to check out Stink's podcast, the Stinkin' Truth podcast. It's available anywhere you find podcasts. Thanks to Sugar Fire in Westminster, as well as Jad's Mile High Smoke. And of course, Bet Online. Go to betonline.ag. It's the Huff Uncensored. Thank you guys so much. Have an amazing day. Let's continue to move forward. I'll talk to you next time.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
When I grow up, I'm going to be a vegetarian.
Veterinarian? It's awesome.
And I'm going to be what you said we need more of.
So you want to be a plumber-narian?
Do you think I can?
I think that if you work really hard, you can be anything.
Promise?
You bet I do.
When you promise your kids the world, we're here to help you keep it. Ohio's 529 plan is the best tax-free savings plan for future college or career training nationwide. Start now at collegeadvantage.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.